Although many of us strive to be the best dad we can be, many physicians struggle with finding balance between their life at home and their life at work. This is the Imperfect Dad MD podcast, the show where we discuss topics involving our minds, bodies, beliefs, relationships at home, and upping our game with our business practices and financial knowledge to better improve our role as dad in the lives of those around us. I'm your host, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, physician, husband, father to two boys, and self-proclaimed imperfect dad. Join me as I learn to raise my own imperfections within all these topics. Now, let's get to today's discussion. Hello and welcome to the Imperfect Dad MD podcast. I am your host, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, and this is week one of a four-part series on Blue Zones. Now, before we get started with that, I want to introduce you to this week's sponsor. She is actually a physician over at the Dr. Podcast Network as well. She's got a really awesome podcast, and I'm going to let her introduce herself to you guys.
Hey there, this is Dr. Erin Wiseman. I'm a fellow Dr. Podcast Network member, life coach, and mom of three. I kick butt, I take names, and I help other high-achieving people do the exact same. And today, I want to invite you over to my podcast, Dr. Me First. It's well over 300 episodes, and each one is filled with inspiration and advice from amazing guests. So grab your wife, your mom, your sister, your best friend, and come tune in as we explore what it means to be a woman in medicine and a woman in this world. Because this podcast is a dose of everything that I needed when I was burned out, exhausted, and ready to quit it all. At the end of the day, I do this to help you feel more connected to yourself and to connect with others. I love to end my show with a kick of encouragement, so here's my favorite tagline. Your life, your calling, your pulse matters. See you over at Dr. Me First.
I want to thank Dr. Wiseman again for that. And if you are definitely interested, go check out her podcast. And, you know, one of the six P's I talk about as a physician dad is your better half. This is absolutely one dad's that you can listen to with your wife, with your spouse, with your significant other. There's a lot of great episodes out there. And out of over 300, I'm sure you can find one that you guys can relate to. So definitely check it out. Now, again, what I talked about before, this is the beginning of a four-part series to talk about Blue Zones. And what I'm going to do is today is an introduction. We're going to talk about what they are, what they mean, and kind of a brief overview of everything going on. The next 3 weeks are going to focus on the different locations that they talk about, what they think is maybe influencing those people to live longer, healthier lives, and how I think it can relate to you as a physician dad, and what maybe you can make, what changes you can make in your lives. Now, again, this book is not my book. It is written by Dan Buettner. And really what they're doing is they are covering this topic of people living past 100 and why and how are they doing it. Now, some of you might think that these people that are living older and healthier is due to their genes, their genetics. They had healthier parents or healthier grandparents. And a few weeks ago, I had my show on epigenetics. If you didn't listen to it, go back and listen to it. But, you know, in that show, I talked about my grandfather who's 104 and doing well, and how I hope those genes get passed down to me. Now, when you look at the people that were a part of this book and who they interviewed and who they talked to, what they find is that about 25% of our longevity, so how long you live, is due to your genes. It's 25. So sadly, not as much as I was hoping. And so sadly, I cannot slack off now. I actually have to do something about it. So the other 75% about is due to your lifestyle. It's due to your exercise, your eating habits, your activity with your friends and family, your mindset, all of those types of things. So your lifestyle directly affects how long you're going to live and how healthy that life's going to be. And I talked again in epigenetics how our genes are turned on and off, right? This is the same idea probably here, that these people are doing certain things in their lives that are turning certain genes on and off, that's allowing them to live longer, live healthier, have less cases of obesity and dementia and diabetes and all those types of things. And you know, I talked with Dr. John Arta Guzman back on a previous podcast episode about lifestyle medicine a little bit. We talked about dad life and then lifestyle medicine. And really, when you think about people who focus on lifestyle medicine, it's looking at these topics. It's looking at, okay, how do we eat healthier? How do we get away from this American diet that we have all become used to? How do we get more physical activity and things like that? And one of the broad topics, well, many of the broad topics, but let's talk about a couple of them here. When you go through this book of Blue Zones, they're looking at first, you know, what's the diet like for these people? You know, what are they eating? Are they eating a bunch of junk? Are they eating a bunch of different things? And very commonly, when you look at all the zones that these people are looking at, their diets are very low in meats. I'm not saying you can't eat meats, but they're low in meats. Most of these people only eat meat on special occasions, holidays, maybe once a month, something like that, because most of these people are farmers. They live in more, not so much impoverished areas, but just smaller town areas. It's like these towns that were lost in time, where the world around them did not influence them. And so what that means is that these people, you know, when it comes to meat, meat is a... it's not scarce, but it's also costly. It takes more money to buy meat there. And so you're not spending a bunch of money on meat. You can't just, you know, go down to the gas station and get a hot dog or something like that. So they don't spend a lot of money on that. Most of them are eating directly from what they grow in their gardens, what they grow in their fields, and, you know, the milks and cheeses they get from their sheep and their goats and things like that. And so it's very different than what we're used to in America, right? And, you know, a lot of people like to look at America and be like, haha, we're, you know, awesome with what we do. We have all this great medicine and all these different things. But to be honest, you look at the American diet, and our American diet is, number one, portion sizes are huge. It's much bigger than most places. Number two, we're very meat heavy. We are very meat heavy. And that's been something that's been going on for a long time. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you have to be vegetarian or vegan or anything like that. I'm not sitting here telling you have to give up meat. But we're a very meat-heavy society, and what they found throughout these blue zones, which we'll talk about in the coming weeks, is that you really want to look to limit your meat intake, because it seems to show that people who are eating more of their vegetables and more of their fruits and those types of things are doing better. Now, not just veggies and fruits, though. We're going to talk about Sardinia next week, and many of them just eat breads and goat cheese. So we'll talk about that next week and why that is and those kind of things. But it's really looking at that diet. So much of it is probably due to moderation. You know, we're getting to the Okinawa discussion, and there they talk about eating till you're 80% full. And we'll talk about that in that week's episode. And here in America, you know, we gorge ourselves. We eat, we eat, we eat, we eat until we feel like we can't eat another bite. I mean, you go to, you know, I'm not going to name restaurants, but you go to a famous Italian restaurant and order up some pasta, and the bowl is probably four times a serving size. It's probably an entire box of pasta in there. And, you know, that's your meal, quote unquote. And hopefully you're taking it home from multiple servings. But a lot of times we don't do that as Americans because it just tastes so darn good. And so you look at that, portion size is a big thing. The other thing is, since these civilizations, and I say civilizations kind of loosely because they really are their own kind of world within themselves, is with technology not having reached them, and not so much reached them, it just hasn't affected their way of life. These people are still walking or biking to where they're going. You know, they're not driving in cars everywhere, so they're getting that that exercise. That they're not, it's not like they're running to the gym to go do something. Their whole day is exercise. They're walking 6 miles a day. They're, you know, they're carrying things. They're doing yard work. They're doing all this stuff. Their body is constantly moving. And so they're getting that exercise, right? Because they aren't just sitting in a car, or they're not just sitting at home watching TV. And so that part of technology has not influenced them. The other thing is that because technology hasn't influenced that way, they find ways to appreciate the world around them, right? They enjoy the people they spend time with. They enjoy the landscape. They enjoy their work. That's what brings them joy in life. And so they have a purpose. And, you know, I think when you look at America, you know, some of us assume our purpose is our work, but it's really not, right? A lot of people don't want to just say their purpose is sitting in an office or doing this and doing that. Like, is that what your purpose is? Now, for some of you that are physicians out there, maybe that's your life's purpose. Maybe you're saying, you know what, I was born to be a surgeon and take care of these people, and I find so much pride in my work. And if that's you, that's awesome. That's great. But there's a lot of people out there who don't feel that way. And when you don't feel that sense of purpose, that's when stress and anxiety and frustrations build up. And because of that, your body goes through so many different changes. Now, it's not changes all at once. It's these little steps and little things that occur over time. And so when you look at these people in these blue zones, life is simpler. Life, I wouldn't say is easier, because they're working hard all day, but they're used to it. right? Their bodies are used to moving every day. Their bodies are used to doing things every day. And so, you know, one of the things that the authors say at the end of the book is, you know, challenge yourself. You know, if you can ride your bike to work, ride your bike to work. Now, where I live, I can't do that, but I can definitely walk more. I can definitely, over lunch breaks, you know, go outside and walk some laps around the office and those kind of things. I can get outside more on my days off and walk around and just enjoy things. You know, I am definitely guilty of being the person, if I go on a walk, I'm going to have, you know, earbuds in my ears and listening to the latest podcast or listening to that or entertaining myself or doing those things. And sometimes you just got to put it away and enjoy what there is around you. Even if you've seen it a million times, enjoy it. It's just when you go to that mindset, it's just this sense of calm. And so we have a hard time doing that in our country because so much of our world and technology is go, 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 go. And so when you look at that type of setup with them, that's important. Now, the other thing that you see in these areas is that there's a big appreciation for the elderly and for like parents. So these people who are in their hundreds are greatly appreciated by their kids and their grandkids. They're shown a ton of respect. Whereas here in the United States, we tend to, as people get older, they end up in homes or they end up doing other things. And, you know, if you've known somebody or if you've had a family member, let's say, who was maybe struggling a little bit as a grandparent in their own home, and you said, hey, you know, maybe it's time for you to go to a nursing home or one of those types of things. A lot of times what you see is they end up in that nursing home and almost within days or weeks, you just see them completely, I don't know what the best word is, but their health drops, their drive drops, maybe their dementia worsens. And so much of that is probably due to this, you've now taken away whatever their sense of purpose was, right? And they don't have people around them. They're not getting that sense of respect or those types of things. And so it's almost like the body just starts to shut down. And when you look at these countries and these areas with blue zones in them, the elderly respected, they live in the homes with their kids or their grandkids. They help out around the house. Absolutely. You know, they help with kids, which, you know, we're living in Omaha and have no family around us. It'd be great to have some grandparents around helping us right now. Luckily my parents get to spend time with my sister's daughter. So I'm glad they're getting that exposure there. Lord knows, I wish they could see my boys more, but, that's the life choice we made. And, you know, if we lived in one of these blue zones, I probably wouldn't have made that choice. I would have, you know, stayed back home and appreciated that sense of being there more. And so I don't know, does that make me a bad person? Does that make me a bad son? I hope not. But reading Blue Zones, it kind of makes me feel that way, because am I directly affecting the health of my parents? I don't know. It's a possibility without meaning to and without them knowing. And so so it's just that sense of respect for our parents and having our kids be respectful of us, right? You know, again, I have an 8 and a 4-year-old. My kids are not always very respectful of me, and maybe I don't deserve it sometimes. But I hope when my kids are adults and they're grown up, and if they decide to have kids and get married and those types of things, they still respect me. They still want me to be around. They want to share their experiences still with me, and that there isn't any struggles there. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but when you look at these blue zones, that's a big thing too, is that family, the sense of purpose, the sense of having a need to be there. And when you talk to, when they talk to all of these centenarians, so these people who are over 100, that was a big topic, was like, you know, I do this because it gives me purpose. I do this because it makes me feel good. I do this because I feel like I'm helping others. And that's a common theme you see throughout the book, is that these people are, they have a purpose. They have a reason to be there. And I think that makes sense because, you know, as people, we have a reason to be here on this world. And when we no longer feel like we have a reason, I think it's very easy for our bodies to just say, okay, I'm done. And that's it. Now, one important topic they talk about in the book too, and especially early on in the book, and this probably relates again to genetics and epigenetics and how your lifestyle influences you, is that, you know, there's a lot of claims out there from beauty products or hormone replacement, those types of things, that these supplements or practices or whatever can stop or reverse aging. You've probably seen that constantly for whatever the product is. And the big thing is, and that's pretty accepted in the scientific and physician world, is that you can't stop aging and you can't reverse aging. Aging only has one direction, and that's forward. The problem is that you have multiple things that can accelerate that aging. So there's an accelerator button, but there's no brake. So it's kind of, you got to learn how to cruise, right? You got to learn how to throw it in a neutral and just drift for a while. And so the question is what are those accelerators? And I kind of talked about, you know, with the eating and the exercise and those kind of things. Obviously things like smoking, it's a big accelerator. It really affects your health. Smoking, you want to, if you're in that, that can definitely affect you. I mean, it doesn't have to be smoking, vaping's there and all kinds of things. Heavy drinking. Now, I say heavy drinking in terms of like getting drunk all the time. You will hear at some of these places, like in Italy, of course, that they do drink on a daily basis, but it's not to get drunk or any of those types of things. And we'll talk about that in those episodes. And so there's definitely some type of balance there. Now, on the flip side, there's another type of blue zone here in the United States where they don't do any alcohol whatsoever. And we'll talk about that on that week's episode. And so it's interesting because you can't just point at these and say like, oh, this guy drank red wine every day for the rest of his whole life. So obviously red wine's good for you. But then you have this other side where they don't drink at all. So maybe you're not supposed to drink at all. And so, you know, you can't really look and say there's this one thing that's making these people healthy. And so that's the hard part is you're trying to find what is the accelerator maybe for you and how do you change that or how do you stop that? And I said stop, but you can't. So slow it down, throw it in the neutral, let it drift a little bit. And so so that's the big thing. Now, I'm gonna sidetrack here just a little bit when I talk about drifting. Growing up in West Virginia, I had a stick shift, and my dad let me have it. When I got old enough, the car had like 120,000 miles on it, but it was a stick shift. And it was great because you'd save a lot of gas because there's so many hills, and you could just push the clutch in, and you would just drift for like 5 miles. It was wonderful. But that's a sidetrack there. So. Now, you may be wondering, why do they call these places blue zones? I mean, it's kind of a generic term. What's it from? And it really is a generic term because when they were looking at these places initially, the original person circled the area with a blue pen and continued to circle areas with the blue pen. And that's why they're called blue zones. But the places that we're going to talk about and look at, we're going to talk about Sardinia, which is in Italy, Okinawa Island in Japan, which, you know, I think it's interesting to look at these countries. Especially or these locations like Okinawa were initially, you know, before World War II and all those things, they were pretty isolated. And since then, it's become more Americanized, if you want to say that, where you're seeing more fast food restaurants, you're seeing more cars, more industry and those kind of things, which some people may look at that and say, hey, that's a wonderful thing. But the interesting topic with that is that now that that is there and there's more ease of transportation and more quick food, so quick fixes, so there's not a lot of work to it. There's a lot more entertainment from a technology standpoint. The lifestyle is directly affecting the health of the people there. They're seeing increased rates of obesity in younger adults. They're seeing earlier deaths, more increased risk for cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and those kind of things. And so, you know, we talk about some of these locations like Okinawa, that's definitely something that's happened. Now, another location we'll talk about in the book talks about is Loma Linda, which is a Adventist community in California. And they outlived the average American by about a decade is what they say. And that's due to the choices that they make. And we'll talk about that. There's a location of Nicoya, Costa Rica. One interesting topic there is they spend about 15% of what Americans do on healthcare, but they live about twice as long as we do, technically speaking. And so not twice as long as like 150, but they live a lot longer than us. And so, you know, we, again, as Americans, we like to brag about our healthcare system and how great of physicians we are. And we're probably pretty darn good at fixing problems, but we're not great with our lifestyles at preventing problems. And again, that's a big topic with lifestyle medicine and integrated medicine and those and functional medicine, because it's the whole concept of trying to prevent illness or chronic disease by changing your lifestyle. In America, we just haven't done a good job with that over the last several decades because of modernization with, you know, fast food and those kind of things too. And so Nicoya Peninsula is pretty cool. Also the places in Greece and some other locations. So we're going to cover all those locations. We're going to talk about why each of those locations are unique, what they're doing there and how maybe that can influence you here. Now you may hear about some things and be like, oh, I'm going to start doing that right away. But the hard part, I think, with some of this too, is that some of the food choices that are in these locations, you know, you might say, hey, I'm going to go to a grocery store and start buying all that type of stuff now, but it may not actually help you here because it's not food from that direct location. And we'll talk about that during the shows as well. And so when you look at blue zones, really, why am I talking about it? I'm talking about number one, I'm worried about my health and I'm worried about how long am I going to be here on this earth, right? I want to be here as long as possible. I want to see my kids grow up. I want to see their kids start to grow up. Maybe their kids start to grow up. Who knows? I want to be a part of as much as I can be and feel like I have purpose for as long as possible, and hopefully that's helping other people. And so when you're talking about being a physician dad, and I talk about the six B's of being a physician dad, the body is the big thing. But again, you'll find in these blue zones, body's not the only thing that it's focused on. You're focused on your brain and your mindset, right? You're focused on beliefs. You'll see in a lot of these locations how their beliefs affect things. And I'm not just talking religion beliefs, like Adventist community in California. I'm talking about, you know, what are your rituals on a daily routine? What do you do every day? How do you show respect to your ancestors? And that's going to be talked about in these different locations. And it's an important part of, most likely, it seems like, how these people are staying healthy in both mind, body, and soul. And we'll also talk about some of the people too with, you know, you look at money and those kind of things. They don't talk a lot about that. And there's a reason why most of these people have lived in not poverty, but in lower level areas. But again, they don't care about stuff, right? These aren't people looking to make a whole bunch of money so they can buy the next sports car. These aren't people trying to make a bunch of money so they can build a big house. These are people enjoying their lives, enjoying the people around them, and feeling like they have enough. And again, in America, I think we have a strong problem with that because we're always looking for the next best thing, the next best phone. Is my car better than yours? Let me get my doctor house and fill it up with all kind of cool things, which kind of sounds bad because we're building a house right now. But, you know, it's that concept of how much does your money matter? And it really takes me back, always takes me back, these topics, to the whole discussion and the story of the fisherman and the businessman. And I've talked about this in a previous episode, but I feel like this applies again in this situation. So I'm going to tell it if you haven't heard it yet. If you have heard it, I just want to talk about it and how it applies, I feel like, here. So the story with the fisherman and the businessman is there's this businessman. He's in his, I don't know, 70s, 80s. He's finally retired. He's worked his whole life. He made millions of dollars, made tons of money. He's finally getting this chance to retire. So he's retired to this small coastal community in Central America, a little fishing town. That was his dream. And now he's, you know, it's mid-morning. He's sitting on the dock drinking his morning, you know, coffee, reading a newspaper, and this fishing boat pulls up to the dock. And it's not by any means a big fishing boat. It's a very modest-sized boat. One man gets off and he's holding about, I don't know, six or seven really beautiful fish. And this businessman's shocked. He's like, wow, those fish are incredible. And so as the fisherman's coming up, the businessman waves him down and says, hey, come over here. I want to talk to you. And so the fisherman comes over and the businessman says, like, wow, those fish are awesome. Did you just have a really good day, or how did you do that? And he's like, oh, this is pretty common. You know, I've lived here, you know, for a long time. My family's from here. And so I kind of know the best fishing spots. And the businessman's like, whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean? Like, you know how to find these fish. What do you do with them? And the fisherman says, well, you know, I take most of them over to the market and sell them there. And then I keep one or two to take home so we can cook with my family. And then what we do is we cook them during the day. We hang out. We drink. We have fun. We have a party. We relax. And that's my day. And the businessman's like, hold up a second. Like, you know how to find these fish. And you're probably making good money per fish, but you're only catching a few of them. You need to go out there and catch more fish. And the fisherman kind of looks at him and says, well, what do you mean? And the businessman says, like, well, if you catch more fish, then you can make more money. And the fisherman says, oh, okay, well, then what do I do? And the businessman says, well, when you have more money, you can buy a bigger boat. So then you can catch even more fish. And the fisherman says, oh, really? What do I do next? And the businessman says, well, then once you have more money, you can hire more people to help you on your boat. And his fisherman says, oh, really? What do I do next? And the businessman will then say, well, then you can buy even more boats and you can build a big fleet of ships and you can get even more fish. And the fisherman says, well, what a great, what do I do next? The business says, well, once your fleet is so big and you've, you know, basically taken over this industry of fishing and you've accomplished all these goals, you can sell your business for a whole bunch of money to somebody else. And the fisherman says, oh, great. What do you do next? And then the businessman says, well, then you can retire and you can move to a coastal city where you can relax and have fun with your family. And so it's this concept when you look at it of, in this scenario, the fisherman has everything he needs, right? He's got his purpose. He goes fishing every day. He feels success. He takes the fish, sells them because they hang out with his family. He provides food for his family that way. And he gets to just relax and have time with his family afterwards. And the businessman, his mindset is, I work, 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 work. I get success that way. And then I finally get to relax afterwards. Now, again, I'm not sitting here telling you can't be the businessman. Okay. I don't sit here and think that I'm scolding people for wanting to make money or, you know, capitalism and those kind of things. I'm not talking about that. But when you look at the blue zones, these people are all very much the fishermen. They know what their purpose is in life. They find happiness in it and drive in it. And it's enough. It's not that they're ever striving and driving for more and more and more. And when you look at the people in these communities in blue zones, and you compare them to the American society and ideal, they are very much the fishermen and we are very much the businessmen. And I think that's a big driving factor too, as to why we as Americans don't live as long as these people. And I mean, these places have 10 times, 20 times more times rate of people living past 100. I mean, that's pretty incredible. And our country is missing out on that. And why? There's a lot of reasons. And we're going to talk about this week, okay? So that's my intro for you guys for the Blue Zones this week. And I want you to just kind of recognize the topics we're going to talk about, why we're talking about them. You know, again, I'm going to talk about some different locations these next few weeks and discuss why I think what they're doing there is important, how maybe you can change that here at home in the United States or wherever you're from, but how maybe it won't be able to be applied to you too. And that's really important as well. All right. So I hope you got something out of today's episode. I hope this topic of blue zones is interesting to you and that you'll tune in for the next few weeks on this. Remember, if you haven't subscribed and leave a review, if you got a friend that you think this is going to be helpful for, definitely share it with them. I really feel like this topic on blue zones is going to be important really for all of us and our kids and their kids and so forth. All right, guys. So before we end, guys, don't forget to hang out with my friend, Dr. Erin Wiseman, over at our podcast, Doctor Me First, on your favorite podcast app, or learn more about how to connect with the Queen of Sass by heading to drpodcastnetwork.com/Doctor Me First. And I promise she's got a great podcast, guys. You'll love it. So you should definitely go check it out.
My dad, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, is a pediatrician, father, and husband. The information provided in this podcast is not meant to be medical advice and is for your education and entertainment only.